This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours!
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours!
Well, welcome to the show. It is 24 hours of live for the He For She campaign Arts Week, the UN Women UK. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Rach Down and I'm joined by the lovely Harriet Rose. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
How are you? This is insane that we're doing this, right?
I mean, you keep saying we, babe. It's all you.
I know, it's all me. It's all
I'm just here for the beginning. I'm here for the first 2 hours and the last 2 hours. So I'm going to see you at your absolute best.
That's true.
And potentially your absolute worst. We're going to see how it goes.
Yeah, I think it will be at my absolute worst. But I'm flattered that you think this is my absolute best.
No, listen, cheers, I think babe. You're going to do a full 360, actually. And maybe your worst is going to be at, like, say, 4 a.m. And then by the time I get here tomorrow, you're going to be bang on it.
I'm going to be literally bang on it. We are very excited. If you're thinking, what is going on? It's 5 o'clock on a Friday. Why are they here? Why are they talking?
Why are you here?
Why are we here? We are here to support the He For She campaign. It's all for Arts Week, all for the UN Women UK. I came up with an idea a little while ago and spoke to the wonderful guys here at FUBAR to raise awareness for the He For She campaign, to raise money as well. And we thought, brilliant idea. Why don't we do a live 24-hour show? I thought, brilliant, I know. It's like sacrificing myself. I will do the entire live 24 hours because, you know, who needs sleep and all of that. And before we know where we are, we're here. It's
and
happening.
I've arrived and I've got a small beer. That's what they're called, small beer. And Rachel's really upset with me because she's like, well, I can't exactly drink in the first hour, but I'm enjoying a nice cool beer while I'm watching you, you know, do your job. You're smashing it.
Thank you very much. And I do love that you are having a beer. By the way, if you want to text us, you have to text UNWN. By the way, before we started, Harriet was trying to do the whole text number and everything. And it was a work of art.
Oh, yeah.
How much we struggled trying to get this right. Mm. If you text UNWN, followed by the amount you want to donate to 770. That's how I would say it, 770.
I'd say 70070, but that's all. How did you say your home phone number when you were, you know, when you were younger?
Well, my home phone number was 711877.
Yeah, so you say it like me, threes and threes. So I expected you to say 70070 like me, but
so I've let you down already.
You've let me down already. I'm 731580, just in case you wanted to know.
Just FYI. We have so many guests over the next 24 hours. If you are listening, you're thinking, well, is it going to be these two for 24 hours? We wouldn't do that
to you. You should be so lucky.
It's not Christmas. It's not Hanukkah. No, we will be here. Well, I will be here for the next 24 hours. We have so many varied guests looking after you, entertaining me especially.
Or holding your eyes open.
I just have no idea what's going to happen. I really don't. But it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, Harriet, I have been, I'm going to say, a bit of a fangirl of yours for a little while.
I really have.
I've been.
You're
like,
actually making me feel a bit like girly blushy.
I know. It's a bit stalkery as well. But I have kind
of. Nah, stalk away, babes.
I'm so good at stalking. Probably is a female thing, but I'm wonderful at this. But yes, I absolutely love everything you do. And you've got obviously your own show on here. What's your favourite thing? Do you love, you know, the radio presenting? Do you love stuff in front of the camera?
It's a weird question, that. It really interesting one, though, because we were just discussing this before we went on air.
Yeah.
It's really weird because, one, I'm not sitting in the seat like you're in the driving seat, which is so calming. I'm so chill over here.
That's amazing.
I'm literally like, I'm just going to be here.
I'm just going to rock. Drink my small beer.
Yeah, drink my really small beer. Basically, I would say that every single side of presenting, it gives me like that, you know, that feeling where it could be panic and it could be excitement, but it is excitement every single time I do anything. Probably, I can't differentiate because there's so many things that are different about them, but give me exact same feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, I like being under pressure, but I'm also a bit of a organizer?
Organizers.
I'm an organizer, so I come to the show and I'm like quite anal about all the stuff I do and like the research I do.
Yeah.
So that element of it, even I enjoy, like being organized. And so being in front of the camera is a little bit less like that because you're just in front of the camera, you've got to go. So I'm a bit more organised on radio, but I kind of enjoy all of it just the same. Is that really bad? Is that really boring?
No, I'm exactly the same. I love radio for the freedom it gives you, for the freedom it gives you. But I find when you do kind of TV things, it's much more restrictive. I think radio, we can be more creative. We can come up with, you know, more ideas and kind of push the boundaries, which is why something like this, for instance, this the UN Women show, as it were, for FUBA, it gives you that flexibility, and we can create something like this.
It's wonderful. It's really exciting, and I think you're amazing for doing it. Honestly,
five minutes in.
I woke up this morning and was like, oh, God, babe. I was thinking of you. I was like, oh, I feel panicky for
Could you.
Could
you think of me throughout? Is that all right?
Yeah, I will be sleeping for a good 7 hours of it. But yeah, seven, more like 10, sorry. Tom, don't know why I said 7 hours.
You think you like someone.
Listen, I will infiltrate my dreams with thoughts of good vibes to you.
Could you though?
Listen, you're going to smash it. So you're like really sport, because you're like really sporty and you know a lot about sports.
Yeah.
Have you got any like sports mentalities that you can, because sports mentality, right? I go to the
it's
gym.
Like a different language, different world. They're very, yeah.
Yeah, but I go to the gym, you know, you do that thing where like, you're like, okay, I'll keep doing for 10 more seconds or whatever. Surely you can implement that in this 24 hours where you can be like, okay, cool. You could like set it into little sections or something.
Do you know what I was going to do that? Originally, I was like, oh, you know, once the first hour's done, I'll be like 23, then 22, but I don't
know that. That's too much. That's too much. Because then you're like, oh, it's only 20 hours left.
It's like, oh my God, I've still got a lifetime to go. I think with something like this, because we do have so many guests coming in, it's just going to be, yeah, I don't think I'll know really where I am.
I like the idea that when I come in again tomorrow, you'll look at me and that will be like, you're on the home stretch. Because when I'm here, you know that you're about to
finish.
You're
like my happy place.
Yeah.
When you come in again, you are my happy place.
Honestly, I've done it deliberately. Like, I don't like being disliked by people. Uh-huh. So I was like, please put me on the nicest slot.
Yes. Please, please, please. It's so true, though. Mm. It's, but again, and do you know what? The campaign, so the He for She campaign.
Yeah.
The reason why I like it, when I first heard about it, is obviously there's a lot about, with International Women's Day yesterday and women's rights, I think we focus a lot on what we as women want. And the only way really we can get what we want is for everyone to be backing us, and that's what the He for She campaign is all about. Men and women working together to create the future that we want, our equal rights. We can't do it. At the end of the day, the stronger voice has to look after the weaker voice, as it were, the voice with not as much power behind them. So I think the only way that can happen, which is why we've got, this isn't a female only show, we've got men and women working together. Men and women can work together. I think it's a very important message, the He for She campaign. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's an interesting thing. I had Dan Kaplan, who's a singer, on the show a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about just this, and he was saying how exciting it is for him that he feels that now he can sort of check himself when he's doing certain things that maybe aren't very positive towards women or whatever, and him and his friends can actually, rather than being scared of it, they can actually embrace it. And he's every male guest I've ever had that I've asked has always said they're a feminist. And I think that,
do you know what? It's very true.
That's a big, big thing, you know? And like this FUBAR, that's why I love FUBAR so much. It's an office full of incredibly strong women and strong men. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of female led in many ways. Mm. And I think none of the men that work here are scared of women in power. And I just think in a workplace, that's such a positive thing to have.
Yeah, it is. And I think the great thing, especially at this moment, it's over the last 6 months, maybe, we aren't afraid to have that conversation. Men aren't afraid now to have that conversation. I think before it was a bit of a taboo to talk about all, you know, sexism in the workplace or this or that. Men were quite afraid, and probably a lot of things that have come out of late, a lot of men are surprised by what I guess us women go through. And I think that's a very positive thing. And it's great that we can talk about this now. And like you say, we're in a workplace like this where we can do anything. And I think we take that for granted. In this country, I think women take it for granted as well. And it's just great that, you know, I think we are slowly moving forward, but it's going to take a long, long time for it to be equal. Do you ever come across sexism in the industry?
Good question. Yeah, I have. But I was always brought up on the vibe of my mum's a really strong woman. I'm surrounded by strong, my aunt's a very big presence in my life. Mm. All of which had really high powered, great jobs where they sort of like were essentially female bosses, and my dad was very pro women and like always taught me about how, you know, you should be empowered as a woman and how to be, but on the same way I sort of found myself when the whole Me Too campaign started and I started to, my attention started to draw to it, I realized that it, actually if I look back in my life, yeah, about how, you know, I've been treated as specifically, I would say, as a DJ. When I first DJed, I remember I did a gig, I won't say where, and a man came up to me and said, oh my God, in fact, it was a man and a woman. Oh my God, I can't believe you can DJ so well. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, because you're a woman. I didn't know that women could DJ. And I had a guy coming up and asking for a picture with me because he was like, I've never seen a woman DJ
like a
so
novelty.
Well. And he wasn't being horrible.
No.
He was just, that was his not honest, genuine thought, yes, process. He was like, oh. And the amount of times I find myself going, oh, I'm a DJ, but I can actually mix.
How many years ago was that, those comments?
Oh, I've only been DJing for like 3 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And when I first learned to DJ, I had this thing in my head that I was like, there's a bit of a reputation that women in my industry as presenters who DJ, like people tend to say to you, oh, I've heard that, you know, presenters can't really DJ, they just do it for whatever. So I was like, I am going to be so good at this,
yeah,
so that no one can ever say that I don't know how to do it. Because yeah, that's how I feel about it, is that if someone ever does say something sexist, then I'm like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong, and yeah, I'm going to completely flip the lid on it. But in general, I'm lucky enough to never have something like really horrendous happen. But you see it every day.
You do,
and you let your mind blank to it. You just go, oh,
you tolerate it.
Yeah,
you desensitize it because it's such an everyday thing. I was going to say sports,
because that must be rife.
Yes.
Like,
and do you know what? Football. Everyone would immediately jump to football. I don't find football that sexist at all, because there's a lot of women involved now.
Yeah.
A lot of women very high up.
And female football has become way more of a thing,
yeah,
than it ever was.
You don't really get that much sexism in football anymore. You get a little still, don't get me wrong, of course. But it's not as strong as motorsport. And I've spoken very openly about that. Motorsport is so, so sexist. And I don't care what anyone says, I've worked in it for years. And the things I could tell you that have gone on. And I know there's been a lot about pit girls, grid girls, stopping. And I'm very happy that they don't do that anymore. And I know a lot of females are like, no, you know, they have those, you know, women that are grid girls have a right to do it. It's very hard to be taken seriously, sadly, because a lot of the males involved in racing are very mentally prehistoric with their views. If they see a girl in Lycra and then a girl next to them with a mic, they treat you all like nothing. And so it's very good now to start. And also, I don't see the point in having a grid girl. Don't.
But I do think from an outside, I did feel sorry for some of them. But from your, I completely, now you're saying that, I see it from a different side. But I've got some friends that were.
Yeah.
And they were talking about it and they were losing their jobs. But sometimes there is sacrifices that have to be made to change people's opinions on things. Because if I know what you mean. If you allowed men to treat anyone, I mean, they shouldn't have been treating those girls in that way anyway.
They're very sexualized. That's the thing. It's when you're at a race, those women are not there because they need to be there for the car. They're very sexualized when they're there.
But if it's their choice,
it's totally their choice. But it doesn't go with the sport.
But it's interesting that you say that for you, it actually changes people's perceptions,
yes,
of how you are.
Because of some of the people involved in the sport and how they view women within that sport. And I just don't see it necessary to have something that you need a half-dressed woman to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing about the female at all. They have a job. It's not actually about them. It's about what that does to the sport. That's the thing.
I just don't know much about it. So that's the thing. I'm literally looking at it from a complete...
Yeah.
I mean, I literally don't know what motorsport is. I know that it's like...
That's amazing.
There's engines. And I've seen it, but I would never even try and pretend. I didn't even know that they were grid... I didn't know what grid girls were.
It's a whole new lesson.
Like, you know, thing for me.
It's, do you know what? The best thing is, and I won't talk about motorsport for too much longer because we've got our guests coming in very shortly, but you will fall in love, and I say to anyone, with a race if you actually go to a motorsport race.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel about any sport, though.
It's the most amazing thing. Watching it on TV, don't get me wrong, it's a bit like, okay now.
I feel that about any sport. I'm not a sporty person, but if I go to like the rugby or the football or whatever, I get well into it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Even if I shout things like goal at rugby and everyone gets really annoyed because it's obviously not
That'd
cool.
That'd be brilliant. Could you always do that?
I do that, and it really upsets people.
It really, really upsets people. Look, we are going to take a little breather. We've got Chloe Howell in the studio very, very shortly.
Yes.
So go get yourself, I don't know, a little refreshment.
Well, a small beer.
Go get yourself. Do you know what I love very quickly about that small beer? Obviously, you can't see it because it's radio. But he is literally with his fingers. There's a picture of a little teeny tiny finger thing. I don't know how you describe that.
Fingers. Well, I'm sure they'll see a picture. It's not actually that small, though, the beer.
It's actually a normal size beer. Yeah, but it's beer and I'm jealous. We'll be back in a few minutes. So go get yourself a small beer and we'll see you soon.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Live fast, die young, bad girls, do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls, do it well.
Let's go. Yo.
And we're back.
It was like all of a sudden, playing a song. No. Well, welcome back. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Rich Downey. I am here for the... Do you know what? I feel like 18 minutes in, I feel like this is what it's going to be like at like 4 in the morning. This is our 24-hour live marathon for UN Women UK. All for Arts Week, but supporting the He For She campaign. I've got the gorgeous Harriet Rose drinking her...
Hi.
Teeny tiny small beer.
Hi.
You're obsessed with, which I
am.
Love.
I've talked about it so much. I need to stop plugging these guys. Only joking. It's fantastic.
It's the best. And I am so jealous I'm not drinking at the moment. And also in the studio, first of all, I like the idea of a little mini round of applause just to kind
yeah,
of
yeah, I'm hype really this up. For that.
So let's welcome, first of all, Susie Ruffin in the studio.
Yay!
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
And also in the studio, me. Chloe Howell.
Yay! Yay!
This is good. We've got a very jam-packed
go girls.
First of all, Susie, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm good. It's very lovely to have you here. It really is.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about... first of all, I want to talk about your tour, Keeping It Classy. How's it going? Are you a couple of days in, or is it...
It's not started yet. So I did a run of the show in Edinburgh for the month, and then I did a few dates before Christmas. And then I've just filmed the show for a special for BBC, and now I'm taking it on tour and doing a run at the Soho Theatre.
Whoa.
So...
Loads.
What's it like doing your own tour?
Do you know what? I haven't done it before. Last year I toured with my best friend who's a comedian called Tom Allen, who's very funny. And indeed. And we went around together, and I've done a lot of tour support, so I've been on the road a lot, but I've never done it sort of under my own steam. So it's sort of terrifying, but great.
Yeah, I'm glad you said terrifying, because it's
all on you. Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, whenever someone buys a ticket to see you, it's like, well, I want them to have a brilliant night. You know, previously I've been the warm up, and I've, you know, I've gone and supported like Josh Widdicombe or Alan Carr or Ramesh Ranganathan. And when you're sort of just opening for someone, it's like, well, I'm going to do my bit. And then here's the person you've paid to see. But this time I'm the person you've paid to see.
Yeah, the pressure's on now, right?
Yeah. But it's really exciting. It's exactly what I wanted to do. But the sort of that thing of being like, I really want this thing. Oh my God, no, the pressure, I'm going to die.
And I know that feeling.
I don't know how comedians do it.
Because I went to a
Women's Day comedian thing on Tuesday, mm-hmm. which was done with Refinery 29.
Yeah.
My friend Rosie Jones is a comedian. And
yeah,
she,
I'm good friends, Rosie.
Oh, she's a total babe. And she just was sat next to me and we were just watching. She just got up and did her thing. And I was like, literally makes me feel sick. Watching, like,
it
having to stand
me.
In front of a room of people and be funny.
Make people laugh.
How
surely
do you,
that's scary.
How do you...
It's just misplaced confidence.
Oh, okay, cool.
But brilliant. Sorted.
I don't know. It's just, it's like a drug. It's like a bug. Like, as soon as you start doing it...
Once you get one laugh, it's just like...
Yeah, and it is like that. And then being able to sort of ride away to a next laugh and to a next laugh, that's... It's just, yeah, it's great.
When did you know, like, comedy is something I can do?
I think I always, I sort of grew up in quite a funny household, and that my dad's sort of a storyteller, and he'd come home from work and say all the things that had happened, and the same with like all of my uncles. And I realised quite early on that like humour is sort of a currency. If you can be like the funny person, you're someone that people want to have at dinner parties or parties.
So
like,
true.
Yeah.
So true.
So I realised quite early on.
That you could get loads of invites to dinner parties.
Yeah, it's like
I
a 7-year-old.
Eat for free.
I was like, I'm gonna really work this dinner party circuit. But no, and so I guess it's always been something that... But as a job, it wasn't until I went to drama school and I acted for a bit, and I kept being cast as sort of the funny person. And as an actress, you sort of constantly wait for your phone to ring. And then as soon as I started doing stand-up, I sort of had some autonomy over it. And
that's what's so great, isn't it? That control over your
precisely.
Future, your career.
Yeah. And then it just... Now it's just... You know.
You're out there doing
just
shows.
Now I've got no choice but to keep doing it.
Yes, locked into this hell.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, it's going quite well, so I suppose this is life now.
Yeah, but don't question it, just go with it.
Yeah, but I'm very lucky because I love doing it, so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Chloe Howell, your new single, Do It Alone, is out at the moment.
Sick video, sick video. Everyone go and watch the video.
And also, you've been like shortlisted for the BBC Sound of 2014 and the 2014 Brit Awards Critics' Choice Award.
Wow.
What is that?
Yeah, well, that was a while ago. Now
you're like, what's that like to start off like even a few years ago and get that recognition?
Well, I was 18 the whole time, so
she's so young. Don't even
no, Chloe is God. Thank you very much for joining us.
No, But I, what I mean is, like, I don't even remember it. Do you know? It was just like such
because
a whirlwind.
Because there's no pressure on you when you're younger.
Yeah,
maybe.
And also bravado when you're
young.
Yeah, as well.
And you haven't French lost balls. Anything in your life, so you're like everything's kind of just coming to you, and you're like, well, of course.
I just totally missed that. Like, I was just such a dick.
Really?
Yeah, just forget those all of those years. But now you've like come out on your own, and you're doing it. It's all really exciting because you kind of shedded the masculine situation, like the record company
role.
And you kind of gone on and made your own thing and become, I mean, would you describe yourself as a feminist?
Yeah.
We talked about this when you came on last time, but like obviously the people listening might not have heard it, but you kind of with these new singles, it's very female empowerment.
Yeah.
This single specifically is like you kind of
refusing to be the other girl was the whole thing.
And I think it's really did you feel like that was a natural path? Like, did you know that you wanted to like put that out in your music and be a feminist in your music?
I mean I would hate to put out anything out there which created like toxicity amongst Sausage. Girls who are listening to my music and like it inspired them to be like evil to each other or some sort of rivalry. I'm always really conscious of that, but mostly it was just like I guess I felt really betrayed maybe by the pop music that I listened to growing up, because it was really like, you know, that other girl, like it's all on her, I'm better than her.
Yeah.
And so when
it's very true. It's very true, isn't it?
I mean, it's a tune, but it's a great tune. But very woman bashing in a way,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And so this time around, when I kind of was in a situation where I was the other girl, I was like, yeah, but it's not the other girl.
Because you wouldn't allow the other girl to be the other girl. Yeah. The other girl.
So what is it like being a female in the music industry at the moment?
I mean, at the moment, it's a little bit more, I think now there's been such like an uprising of women coming forward about all the sort of
Me Too.
Yes.
And
Me Too campaign and everything we kind of have to handle. And I think now it's really exciting and all my friends are becoming way more like active and vocal. When I first started, it wasn't really like that. And you kind of had to be quite compliant, and
because we were talking about your friendship with Ella Eyre and how you guys she was almost shocked that you guys, because you just linked and then it was like from when you were both nominated at the Brit Awards.
Yeah, so she like started sliding in because basically we were both like
sliding into your DMs. Yeah.
That's exactly
sliding into my DMs.
But no, because obviously we were like technically rivals because we were both nominated.
Yeah.
And then so she was like, no, and just slid in my DMs and we just
That's
decided
so
to be
cool.
friends. And,
yeah. No one's ever slid into my DMs.
Babe, no one's ever slid. The wrong people have slid in my DMs.
I wish anyone would slide in. No, but that's the nice side of it. And I think we're all actually like comedy, music and like the, you know, the presenting the media world. We all have that taste of kind of rivalry and as women you're pitted against each other.
You're constantly pitted against each other.
But then I think that, like, certainly as a female comic, it happens a lot. Like, oh, you know, there's only one room for one girl on a show.
All that sort of thing. But the
girls in the comic, like, we've got a WhatsApp group. There are all the professional female comics in the country, basically.
Oh my god, can I be in the WhatsApp group?
I'm not funny,
but it's really supportive, and it sort of started because we got to a stage where if one of us couldn't do a show or couldn't do a gig, we would try and replace ourselves with another woman.
I think that's really important, and the
women in the industry, you know, Sarah Pascoe, Catherine Ryan, all the girls that are sort of smashing it at the moment, Joe Too Long, all of them are so supportive of girls coming up. Like, you know, I'm doing a couple of support dates for Catherine in some of her like massive venues, you know, and she often uses a female support, and it's, you know, women are really good, I think, at reaching out and helping. And I think the more, you know, certainly with, I don't know if it's the same with music, but I think like with females in comedy, as soon as you see like one person smash it, one female smash it, like people that are watching at home or people that are watching in the room or TV producers, they'll go, oh, well, that girl's really good. Maybe we should use another girl. And
I think that women smashing it and women breaking through
is good for all women in
the industry. I mean, it's like if you look at panel shows, I mean, they talk about it. And I've had so many conversations with producers and stuff who are like, there aren't enough funny women. And it's like, that's not
true. You hear it all the time.
But on a serious level, who's in your WhatsApp group?
Oh my god!
You've got to shout out.
Do you think we can be like
some
a silent member of this?
I mean, I don't think I can. I mean, it's the classics.
Are you not allowed to say?
It's all the girls, Catherine.
Because I'm just
all the girls. Come on.
I'm surprised that I'm not in there. That's the only thing. I'm just kind of broached. Like,
a little
where,
bit offended. I
but that's what I mean. It's such a supportive network of women, and you know, there's. you know, there's always, you're always going to find people that are difficult, you know, male or female.
Yeah, but very, I think true, that, very true.
And I think that that's the great thing of trying to, you know, sort of help other women up. And like you were saying about Rosie Jones, Rosie's sort of a newer comic, and I met her really early doors, and I've suggested her for gigs, and other people, yeah, and other people suggest me for gigs, yeah. And I just think, like, you know, if you can pass it on and pay it forward in that way, then it's great for all women in the industry.
I definitely, you were saying, like, hooking up with other girls in the studio is a bit like that, yeah, isn't it? You, like, obviously you want to go in. Every girl artist I've ever had on the show, on my show, is always like, yeah, well, I did something with blah blah blah, and I did something with blah blah, and I really want to get in the studio with so and so, and like,
yeah,
do you feel that, like, well, is there lots of girls,
yeah, wanna... when you start working with another girl, you're like, this is so different.
Yeah.
You're like,
yes,
what?
Yeah.
I'm working because I don't think I've ever, I think once I've worked with a female producer, but there was a man in the room as well, kind of, yeah, like overseeing her, but I've never worked with a female producer. And then so whenever there's more than one girl in the room, you feel so like hyped.
Gassed, like, yeah, everyone's just like, oh my god,
it's amazing. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's gonna be massive.
I love just intimidating the boys as well.
Oh god, yeah. But I have to admit, I still get shocked by it though, like the amount of kind of female guests have come forward and presenters about doing this show, I'm really touched. And then you kind of have to ask myself, why am I so touched? Of course other females will be part of this, but I think because I'm so used to like this whole so-called competitive nature that people create for other women, it still shocks me. And yeah, I think it's, what do you think has been the change? Because there's definitely been a change over the last, I don't know how many years, with us all openly saying, let's support each other.
We're just talking about it.
Yeah, it's just the conversation, mm-hmm, isn't it? And so many more artists and people and like people in creative industries and in the public eye have been talking about it more when they've got a platform. And then when a kid's, you know, when one of my sisters sees that, she's going to go into school and be like, hang on, yeah, we shouldn't hate each other.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think so. I've never really, every presenter I've ever met, I'm like, they're always lovely. We make friends. Like, we always, I meet people on Instagram. That's so weird, I know. But like, you know, you meet people and you hang out with them in real life, and that's really awkward because you're like,
you?
Oh, we've been friends for ages on Instagram and I've got to speak to you. But actually, everyone's always so nice, and I've not experienced that much negative vibes in terms of that in my own. Like, do you find that it's more like outside the comedians themselves or the singers themselves? It's more like, is it management? Is it coming from other areas?
I mean, you're pitted, you know, whenever somebody compares you, you know, everybody wants to compare you to another artist whenever they review your music or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's always,
we're talking about this, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's always some, a woman, and then naturally then that girl feels kind of a rivalry with you, and then you feel like you've always
got
to be better than her.
They love to create that, don't they?
Yeah.
But they never do that with men. Like, you never have that bit where it's like, oh, you should, like, you know, blah, 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 beef. It's like, there's literally no beef.
Also with women, we are massively pitted against us with our looks, and you see it in, like, always in the press, like, look how this person's aging, look what they're wearing, photographs like of like women coming out of cars trying to like get
to it better.
Yeah, you never get that with men, and that's the thing. We will never, if that's still around, we're never going to be judged on our ability, whereas men are always judged on their ability, not necessarily their looks.
I think it's because often we are considered to be like the other, so like men is the norm and we are the other, and so it's always like female comedian, female singer,
yeah, how do you
female
feel about
presenter
that?
Well, I mean, I'm female and I'm a comedian, so it's sort of true, but I hope that my gender or my sexuality or anything, like, I don't need it to be like what is,
it's not the issue,
yeah, it's just, I'm just a funny person,
yeah,
you know. But I think that's the thing, and I do think that it's changing, and I do think it is something that will sort of take a while, and it will be sort of, you know, but I think the movement is happening, and I think, you know, partly it's because of sort of, you know, feminism getting in, sort of like there being sort of like a reboot of feminism for women of our generation, and sort of women sort of going, no, I'm not going to stand for that sort of thing anymore. And then I think obviously alongside stuff like the Me Too campaign and women coming forward and saying, do you know what, you know, from everything from like obviously awful sexual assault and harassment and all things like that, you know, all the way down to women in offices going, no, do you know what, I'm not going to, it's not okay anymore for you to casually touch my ass every week. And I think women and women slowly standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to stand for that. And I think it just, you know, it would drip down so that, you know, like you say, your sister at school, she'll just never have to, hopefully.
And that's so exciting.
I think that's really so exciting.
I think obviously a lot of people who follow my music and I have three younger sisters, it's so interesting seeing them now and seeing how much more like woke they are.
Yeah.
Oh, how much more aware they are on all sorts of issues like regarding gender, sexuality.
See, I never
race,
had that when I was younger. That's so good that we can talk about
we
it.
We had to kind of learn it,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah.
And now they're sort of, it's just accepted and it's really great.
I think, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think it's really cool. I was having a really big, I went to a really big women dinner for Girls Irate, which is a non-profit organisation that mm-hmm. works with women in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, get really gassed up women. Like it was like 100 like really excited yeah. women just talking about women. And I was talking to this girl and she was saying that she did a panel and it was talking about this guy who'd said something really inappropriate, but he got called out and everyone explained why. And then he went, oh, okay, I now see
it's education and as well, isn't it? Educating people.
That's where we need to go. It's not about everyone being right all the time. You can go, just so you know, that's really offensive. And they can go, oh, is it?
Yeah. And I think it's asking questions as well. I was having this conversation earlier, actually, today with one of my friends who's a playwright and a brilliant sort of feminist woman in the world who's fantastic. And we were talking a lot about like getting things wrong. And I think it happens with like, you know, with, you know, men saying the wrong things or people saying the wrong things. And what we were talking about was trans people and people of colour and people getting things wrong by accident. And I think the other thing is, you know, I'm a gay person. And I think, like, you know, I certainly know that I prefer it if someone will say, oh, I'm sorry, is that the right thing to say? Or ask someone and not be afraid of getting it. Go, oh, I'm sorry, is that an okay thing to say? Is that, like, you know, is that LGBT friendly? Or, and I think just asking questions and being like, I don't know everything and I can only speak from my position and I only know how I feel about something. Can I just check how you feel about that?
Yeah.
Making it a conversation rather than you're right, you're wrong. This is like, because, you know, we're all constantly evolving and, you know, and it's important to go, oh, I'm willing to carry on learning. It's not like you get to sort of 30 and go, oh, well, I know everything.
I've done it.
Mm. Yeah.
No more life lessons.
I think that I've learned, I'm 32 and I think in the last 2 years I've probably learned more than ever before.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of willingness to keep, you know, evaluating how you see things and trying to see things from other people's perspective and, you know, challenging your own opinion on stuff is how progress really happens.
But 100%.
That's kind of what we're saying as well, that with the whole Time's Up, whole, you know, debate, campaign, a lot of men I know were very shocked when, you know, I tell them, well, yeah, this kind of everyday sexism happens. And they were shocked by it. And I think it's by us talking about it that people are actually going to start realising, oh, I didn't realise that goes on. And also seeing what we as women do actually go through on a daily basis.
I think that's also causing, though, some of the, like, backlash because it's now coming out and everybody's speaking more about it. You know, a lot of men I'm talking to are like, where's this come from? This can't be true. This is too much.
There's
too much
women just moaning.
Yeah. And like, so many people come up to me like, I can't believe it. Everybody I knew hashtagged me too. And I'm like, yes.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing, is that like we grew up sort of going, oh, well, that's okay. And oh, you know, yeah, boys do that sometimes and boys will be boys. And all that sort of thing that you just consistently allowed. Like, oh, yeah, like boys will sort of undo your bra at school. And that's something you just have to deal with as a girl. And you're like, headbutt someone.
Do you know what I mean? But like, it's that sort of thing that you know, that slowly sort of, you just, for a long time, I would just accept that was okay.
It was the norm.
Yeah,
and
you go, oh, well, that's what boys are like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what
happens. And then eventually you go to a stage where, like, I am friends with really good men and really kind, lovely men. And I go, well, they don't do it, so why is this prick getting away with it? No, I'm going to call it out. And also, change is incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Everyone
hates change, yeah.
And someone put it, I think it was Munro Bergdorf put it on Twitter, and she was like, actually, no one has ever made a serious change without being a little bit hated, a little bit you know, people. And actually, I think that's so true.
Yeah, if you look at any civil rights movement.
Yeah.
That's so, so true, actually. Yeah.
Someone's got to hate you for it to even move forward. Because,
to push against something.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly, I think in the careers, oh, I couldn't speak. I was like, just very excited.
That's
but in our careers, like, actually, you're kind of in the vibe of like, oh, I should just shut up because I want to make my career go further.
I don't want to be difficult.
I'll wait until I get to a certain level and then I can speak out because I'm at a bigger level and I can do that.
But that's why it's fantastic that people like Frances McDermott did it at the Oscars, where she talked about the diversity rider.
I love her.
Obviously, she's a massive star. She's won loads of Oscars. She's in a position where she can do it, but at least she is doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it is more difficult for a girl that's just come out of acting school or or just come out of, you know.
I also think it's sometimes, like, you know, not everyone can be that huge change. Not everyone can be, you know, at the Oscars and asking all of the women to stand up. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's like tiny acts of defiance of going, no, do you know what? I'm not going to allow that. And or just saying, or, you know, even saying to a mate, like, dude, when you're drunk, you get a bit handsy. You need to not do that. That's not cool.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that sort of thing. Tiny acts, you know, not everyone can be the huge change. You know, that's.
No, completely.
And sometimes it's just tiny things that you can do to make it, you know, better for yourselves and better for other girls.
Go girls, hey? Go girls.
So let's talk about inspirational women. Obviously, Women's Day yesterday. What women come to your minds who have inspired you? Maybe female comedians as well. Female comedians. But,
yeah, no,
you know, that you have looked at maybe growing up, that you've respected.
Yeah, definitely. It's always the same from female comics. It's usually French and Saunders.
Yes, and they are amazing.
And Julia Julie Walters, Victoria Wood.
Yeah.
And, but there's so many. And also, stand-up in America is really... There's a lot of women that are incredible in America. There
used to be more on the platform out there.
America's bigger and has more channels.
Yeah, I think actually that is the
cable channels.
Yeah. That is literally the answer. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. I actually do think that's true because, like, obviously you can see the, like, Sarah Silverman,
Amy Schumer, those girls. Yeah, and but there's Ellen DeGeneres. I think would probably be.
She's amazing.
I love her.
Well, her stand, like, not many, like, loads of people have, but, like, she's known now for being, like, a talk show host.
Yep.
But her first album is on Spotify, and it's so funny. It's wall-to-wall laughs the whole way through. It's just observational stand-up.
And, like, oh, my God, I thought you meant, like, a music album.
No,
I was
no.
like, what?
It's called Ellen.
And you're like, anyway, she's an amazing singer.
American comedians called them albums, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I just was excited that she...
I was very excited as well.
Yeah.
She was basically, you know, at the top point that any female stand-up comedian in America had ever been.
I didn't know that.
She came out and she lost her series, she lost her show.
Yeah,
she
very brave.
She couldn't get booked for anything. They put her on the front of, like, Times magazine. Everyone started calling her Ellen DeGenerate, and, like, people were really, really, and she lost her whole career.
And again, that probably wasn't that long ago.
No, I think it was like 94.
So
mad. Like, no, maybe 98. And so it, like, to lose everything.
And she would have known that as well, known that reaction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sadly, her show she came out on her show and it got cancelled 2 weeks later. And she had to, like, build it all back up again. And
that's
think being brave enough to go, do you know, no, like, I am a gay person and I am going to be brave enough to come out and
to be me.
And to not hide that. And then for her to now be, you know, she's got
the
more.
The biggest.
Yeah, the biggest.
Oh,
like,
goosebumps.
You know, more. She's got more Emmys, more daytime Emmys than anyone ever.
She's actually my biggest inspiration as a presenter.
She's incredible.
For me, like,
she's so
she shows me that I can
her.
Do it. Like, if she can do it and she can get to that point, then.
Yeah, and, you know, she's. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's and so that would probably be my biggest.
Good choice.
So good.
Very good. I feel like you've thought about this. Really good.
Yeah, so good. Follow that, Chloe.
How?
Oh, my God. What?
Good luck. Sorry.
I mean, I guess for me growing up, it was kind of like the early noughties and everything was super polished and super media trained. So just for me, when I first started doing music, it was like women like Amy Winehouse who just came out and was just like
amazing.
Swearing at everybody and didn't care what she looked like and like was just
and
really,
her talent just was
incredible talent that just like overcame any opinion you could possibly have of her. And you know, just her sort of like fearlessness in her lyrics, that side of things was always really, really empowering to me as a kid. But then if you go further back, there's like artists like Nina Simone, who obviously through the civil rights movement, she just wrote songs that could have put her basically in jail and she just did not care.
And it's just so amazing. Just
exactly. There's so many people who have just been so fearless, especially in like the creative industries where it's not really their lane, and they've just gone like, wow, I'm going to take this platform that I've been given and I'm going to flip it on its head.
That's what it all comes down to, isn't it? Just having that fearlessness. And
But it is also because actually the story behind Nina Simone is so interesting, because Dan Kaplan picked her as his inspirational woman as well. And we were talking about it, and she pulled a gun on her manager. and because the interviewer's like, oh, I heard you pulled a knife on your manager. She's like, no, it was a gun. And I was just like, yeah. Like, because it was back in the day when actually it was quite like, you know, the music industry was not a fair place, and there was a lot of, she had some awful stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And she kept going and going and making these songs, and like, she didn't even want to be a singer.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was an accident, wasn't it?
So people that are unaware of, if our listeners are unaware of her, tell us a little bit more.
So she, basically, when she started, she was playing the piano, and I can't remember what it was, but someone, her boss said, like, you've got to sing, because we haven't got a singer, you've got to sing. So she started singing, she didn't really enjoy it, and she wasn't allowed, I can't remember the name of the, it was a music, classical music college, she wasn't allowed in because she was black. And she basically was like, right, and she just went on to write songs, and exactly as you said, she was completely like passionate about changing things for women of colour, and she just did that throughout her life. And then her manager, I think that specific story was about her manager not paying her, back in the day there was not contracts that said I'm taking 20%, it was more like I'm taking 80%, and you don't even know, just sign on the dotted line. Even up until the late 90s that was happening in music. And because we had one of the ladies from En Vogue on, and she was explaining the exact same thing. She signed a contract. She didn't make hardly any money from, like, one of the biggest bands.
You never expect that, would you? You
don't. And I think Nina Simone did a lot for women in the music industry in that sense, because she was like, I'm not taking this and I'm not having it.
And how inspirational for like other young women of colour to see someone like that being so fearless.
Yeah.
Like the change that she would have had would be huge, and still having effect now.
And I'm sure she went about her day-to-day business, she never thought that was what
but
she was
doing.
But
people don't do it for that, do they? They don't think, oh my God, I'm going to do this and this will all happen. It's they're just staying true to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably get to a point where it's like, this isn't fair. I don't want to take this anymore. And it's not. And again, I suppose it's not worth, you know, if you love something so much, if you're very creative, it's not worth selling out and losing a part of yourself purely to pay the bills, maybe.
Well, she was writing music about like lynching, and you know, she was basically getting blacklisted.
Blood on the Leaves?
And she was getting like, blacklisted. She was like losing gigs, not getting booked, and she was just like, well, I'm
Goosebumps.
Not gonna turn back and turn my back on like a cause that means so much to me. So that's,
well, do you know what, on that note, I believe we're coming towards the end of this little section. We'll take a little breather. I feel so inspired already. I wonder if this is going to last.
So do I. I'm
the next 3 hours.
I'm going to ring in at 3 a.m.
Oh my God, do.
Just laugh. Don't even say anything. Just laugh. That's all I need is laughter.
Chloe, we're going to play your song.
Do it alone.
Yeah, we're pumped. We're going to get pumped up to Chloe Howell.
So enjoy it. Chloe, Susie, thank you so much.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
It's been so fun.
It's been so fun. You've given all our other guests a lot of pressure now. I think this is the peak. This is amazing. So enjoy. This is Do It Alone by Chloe Howell.
Tune.
Are you lonely? I notice she is never on your arm. You found me last when you lay on the charm, and you told me the walls are closing in on you. But boy, tread softly, wanting to be free don't mean you are. Cause you're on different sides and you want me right in the middle. You're trying to speed up time and breaking all the rules would satisfy. You wanna get away and get it with me, solves the riddle. You wanna break a heart, I won't commit the crime. If you're trying to leave your girl for me, gotta do it alone. You gotta do it all on your own. Cause I won't let you use me to break free, gotta do it alone. Gotta do it all on your own. Because I'm not gonna be your alibi or your excuses. Excuses. And I won't take half of the blame for the lies. Do it alone. You gotta do it all on your own. You play, it's hard to quit the game. If you win, who can say you'll level up your league again? Cause you're on different sides and you want me right in the middle. You're trying to speed up time and breaking all the rules would satisfy. You wanna get away.
you're trying to leave, you're go for me. Gotta do it alone. You gotta do it on your own. Cause I won't let you use me to break free. Gotta do it alone. You gotta do it on your own. Because I'm not gonna be your alibi or your excuses. Excuses.
Joining me on the line now is Mrs. Katie B.
I do love female company. I just love that kind of energy, being surrounded by strong, talented women. Sometimes I do miss it because all of a sudden I'm like looking around, I'm like, hang on a minute. I need to kind of reach out to more artists that are kind of going through the same thing as me, or organise more sessions, or even give more opportunities to other up-and-coming artists, or shout out to other artists. It's definitely something that is more on my radar. Otherwise, I can feel it. I yearn for it.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Rachel Downey. This is our 24-hour live marathon for UN Women UK, supporting the He For She campaign, all for Arts Week. I'm joined by Harriet Rose as well, who's helping me very beautifully. Please don't go. And in the studio, are we ready for a next round of applause?
Oh, yeah,
Let's
I'm ready.
Welcome Eva Lazarus.
Literally wearing the best outfit in the whole world.
You're making me smile.
I am dressed for radio today.
You're such a waste.
You're dressed for the front of a magazine right now. You look so sick.
Do you know what, this the woman who makes these sort of tracksuits?
Yeah.
She's an Aussie woman, Nixie Killicks, and I followed her her Instagram forever.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that she was from Melbourne. I just toured there recently, and as soon as I got off the flight, I was like, fuck, I need her clothes.
Yes.
How do I find her? I need her. I have her down. I was like, take my money. Take all of my money. So she's so good. If anybody likes sort of festival wear, but comfortable,
yeah,
Nixie Killicks.
You've ticked all my boxes there.
That's all it takes. Eva, for people that are thinking, oh, who is Eva Lazarus? She sounds amazing. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
You know, I'm just your regular run-of-the-mill girl from next door, you know?
I love it already.
She literally is from next door.
Yeah, I didn't travel far.
Literally.
I'm a chick that likes to do a little bit of everything creatively. And I feel like, in terms of being an artist, I'm an artist. I'm not a reggae singer. I'm not a hip-hop artist.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
a soul artist. I don't come specifically from the dance world. And the term that has been banded around recently is genreless, because I feel like I can do more than one thing credibly and well. So why would I pigeonhole myself?
And you're probably like a lot of people in the arts, a lot of creatives, we're all inspired by so many different things. And like in music, it's not one type of music that inspires you. It would be so many different types.
Yeah, I mean, look, people listen to lots of different types of music. Mm. So why would a creator not want to make more than one thing?
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to eat the same food every day.
Some days.
I mean, look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to specialise in something. Like, nobody's out here trying to put like a GABA record on a folk album. Like, I'm not trying to put those two worlds together.
You're just working on what works for you, and it's working very well, babe.
Oh, thanks.
I'm a massive fan of Amsterdam. I think it's a sick song.
Thank you. I like it
because it's really you obviously, it's about independence, isn't it? You're sort of like breaking off from your man. You're like, I'm going to Amsterdam on my own.
Yeah,
I think that's amazing.
But I think in itself, going on holiday on your own is scary.
This is something, yes, I've been looking at recently. We won't talk about what I did last night. I had
it's really sexual.
So sexual. I had a glass of wine and ended up booking a holiday next week to go to Tenerife. I'm not going to go because I've actually got work. But the fact is,
that was after one glass of wine.
I mean,
you are dangerous.
I am so crazy. You have no idea. But it was the fact that I've wanted for a long, long time to be brave enough to go away on my own. And I know it sounds really like sad to say brave enough, but I find that whole idea of, I think, going away and just being left with, I guess, myself, my mind, it's scary.
It's scary. Did you actually go to it? Was it? Is it a true?
It's a real life, real story.
Yeah, I thought so because it was too real not to be.
Do you know what? There's a little girl called Eva who is the daughter of a fan who he wrote to me and he said, my daughter's listened to the new version, the new tune, the censored one. And she said, I'm really worried about her. If she doesn't have anywhere to go, can you tell her she can come and stay with us?
Oh my God.
That's the most adorable thing ever.
All of my insides just melted.
Yeah,
literally.
I know, it's too cute. But it's like, you know, I actually wrote that song after... I'd actually drank a bottle of wine at my kitchen table.
Slightly more than a glass, though.
But I wouldn't have booked Tenerife if I had a bottle.
I was writing about that holiday, which I went on my own, and I got really drunk and I booked tickets to go to New York by myself.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, like
that scares me. That's
amazing. I'm in awe of you.
The subway at night. Okay, let's be real. Like being on, like, Amsterdam, people speak English. New York, people speak English.
Let's be honest.
Like, I feel safer knowing that I can communicate with people. But, the subway in New York at night is no joke. It's no joke.
It's quite an experience, isn't it? It's quite an emotional experience.
Yeah, it's
different to the tube.
Yeah, like it's like certain areas of New York's dangerous, man.
Yes!
Like it seriously is. It is. It's like a dangerous. It can be like quite. I mean, I found the same with Paris at night on the subways. Is I had my phone nicked. Clever way I've ever. Basically, this guy just came up behind me, pushed me into the store. He didn't even push me. He just walked with me. You know when someone shuffled
you?
He like shuffled me in, nicked my phone, and ran through the gate. And then I was like, oh. That was really cleverly done. Good on you.
I salute you, sir. You can keep the phone.
But it's a bit like that. I can imagine, like, when you're on your own and you're in this vast, like, New York is vast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, you know, alone at that point?
I was living my Sex in the City fantasy, to be honest. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was walking around like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm in a film. I'm so free.
Like,
woohoo. Honestly, it was amazing. It was amazing until it was, like, dark. but I do have friends over there, so there was people for me to meet up with. But Amsterdam, I only know like a couple of people, and I didn't actually contact them when I was going over there because I was going through a breakup and I just wanted to be by myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk about any of the problems. I just wanted to go and smoke some herbs, eat some muffins and some waffles, and then go to galleries. That's all I wanted to do.
Amazing.
And it was.
And what was it like on your own doing that? I think that's the thing when you're on your own.
I feel like, especially like my mum's an artist, and so I spent a lot of my life going to galleries, even when I didn't want to go, because when you're like you're six and you're like, oh God, I'm so bored.
Stop it.
But like eventually you appreciate all of that stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, I'm turning into my mother, and
Aren't we all?
I choose to go to those places now. You couldn't have told me that at like 9 years old. I'm like, oh God, kill me now. But going to exhibitions by myself, there is something about sitting with a piece of artwork and having my opinion. Not, oh, we should probably go. I've been stood here for like 30 seconds and I'm sure they want to go and look at something else. It's my time, and I do with my time exactly what I please. And I absorb from that piece of work what it means to me and me only. Nobody's giving me outside feedback. Sometimes, like, the only way I can liken it is if you go on YouTube and you watch a music video or you watch a review of something or a tutorial, and you haven't made your mind up about it yet because you haven't seen the whole thing. But your eyes will always flick down to who's liked it and who's disliked it. And it will colour your view of what you're now watching. And I feel like that was one of the benefits of going away by myself, was I got to see a lot of artwork and absorb a lot of culture, but without outside influence. It was mine.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it really is. So you would recommend for, I think, all of us to do something like that.
Yeah.
To learn more about ourselves. Because I think that as well is reflecting on music. It's for you, like, as in you're staying, again, true to yourself. It's very difficult, I think, to stay true to yourself when there's so many people outside saying, but this works better, or you should do this. It's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard for all of us, but in music as well, it's so difficult.
Yeah, well, it's another thing that I have to... I've come up against this a few times with doing so many different things. People going, yeah, but that record did really well, so why don't you do another record like that or in that genre? Or why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And I need to just go, shh, everybody shut up. Yes. I just want to be happy. That's the bottom line. Like, it's not that I don't want to make a record that is... I want to do create bubbles and create worlds. And when I worked with Mungo's Hi-Fi on that Amsterdam track, it was part of an EP. And that was, you know, rooted in reggae and rooted in sound system. Not all exactly identical types of reggae, styles of dub or sound system bangers.
Yeah.
But it all comes from that world.
Yeah.
That's a bubble. You can put on that record and you can escape into that world. And it's nothing kind of throws you off or out of
yourself. You're in it. Yeah. You're immersed in it. And it's, yeah.
And I'm writing a record at the moment that's totally different.
So what is the new record you're writing? Like, what's your inspiration right now?
I mean, pinning down things for me is difficult.
Yeah.
But
be as vague as you want, my bad.
Yeah.
Be as vague as you want.
Like, we're here all night.
It's like, it's very shine and very green, but also like very upside down.
Yeah.
But it's button up, but it also zips down if you want to.
I got you.
Yeah. Like, it's very that.
It's big but small.
Yeah. It tastes very umami. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, it's, no, it's basically soul hip hop. It's soul hip hop and funk. And it's got live instrumentation and it's got brass and it's got bull. It's got brass balls.
I love brass balls.
Yeah, who doesn't?
They really doesn't.
I have to say, it's very brave to be, just to know you, to know yourself. Like, what tips would you give other females coming into the music industry, coming into a creative world where, you know, we sometimes do have to adapt to maybe get a gig or get a door opened? Yeah. How do you stay so focused on staying true to yourself?
For me, I know I can't do anything else. I've tried doing other things.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Like, what's her name? Tiffany, is it Haddish?
Tiffany Haddish. Yeah, I love her so much.
She's so great. And she was on the Def Comedy Jam thing, 25 years of, and she came up on stage and she was like, she said something about, you don't want people like me at your job. Like, you just don't. You know, she's too loud, she's too effervescent, she's too much woman and comedy to be in an office.
Yeah.
And I am too, like, for all that, I am motivated and I am focused and I am driven. If you put me in a situation where I don't want to be there, I am wafty and I am, like, not paying attention because I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there.
Your heart's not in it.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of things that I work with and work on. I do workshops and I work with organisations on helping push other creative people and push creative minds into the next levels of their career. So I do mentoring, songwriting.
Wow.
I'm actually working with BIM as an artist in residence.
Sick.
Which is like, it's so
That's
exciting.
Amazing.
And I worked with a group a week ago. I did a workshop and it was like a hip hop workshop. We worked on a Dilla beat and people were writing raps and writing songs and it was great. And I worked with this one girl, remember her name, Charlie, who's at the Bristol BIM. I don't know her surname, but I think she's incredible. And seeing women try, be like, oh, I really want to try and rap, but oh God, I'm scared.
Yeah.
And for her to come to me and be like, I want to try, but I'm not sure. I've not really done it before, but I want to. And I'm like, yes, come here. Like,
yeah.
we're just going to sound it out and just flow and don't say words and just like find yourself in the beat. And at the end of the workshop, she had a tight 8-bar rap. And she did it in front of everybody, and she smashed it, and it was wicked.
Right, I'm coming to you.
I feel like I want to rap.
I've done a few freestyles on my show, and they're awful.
Have you?
Yeah.
I really want to see some.
I can't freestyle. That's a totally different.
I'm so
like,
pleased.
That's a totally different muscle. I think there's a preconception that like everybody who raps can freestyle. No, that's embarrassing. If you can't freestyle, like don't just.
But also
don't just. Start trying like in front of people. That's something you have to cultivate
100%.
Alone.
But I think, in a way, freestyle means different things, because I think you can freestyle in the way that certain people freestyle by writing a bar and then performing it in a, on over a freestyle beat.
Yeah.
Like, 9 times out of 10, like, the stuff you see on Charlie Sloth and stuff is
it's not freestyle.
So you can, but it's not the original.
Yeah. I can go over pretty much any rhythm.
That's
so cool.
That's something that I enjoy doing. And also, I host a lot of sets, so it could be like dance, or it could be jungle, could be drum and bass. And
have you always done that?
Do you know what? I've been doing that for quite a long time. Yeah.
Was that your first introduction into?
No. Do you know what? My first introduction into performing in front of people was.
I'm excited.
So it was so bait. I was a part of like an acoustic duo, and the guy Gaz, I can't remember his surname, but he played guitar like really well. He was almost too much for me. I couldn't keep up with him.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the skill level to match how good he was. So I just made him sound a bit shit.
That's amazing. We would all do it.
And I'm like, like trying to sing like nicely over his like well constructed like ding dong. It's like almost like flamenco guitar, and it was pretty dead.
Yeah.
So that was my
That was my first
All gotta start somewhere, babe.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
But you know, when I started actually getting gigs and people not being like, could you just let him play guitar, and that's terrible singing. Like, when we got past that bit, because you've all got to put miles on the clock as well. That's the thing. 100%. There's a lot of,
your voice doesn't come from, it comes from development and comes from working and actually working out who you are and what your voice is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for
sure. I say that like I can even sing. I can't. I just get the impression that's what happens.
So but
the
thing musical.
Is, like, how comfortable you are in front of a mic now and chatting and, you know, not having the sort of crippling like fear before starting, or the palm sweats, or you know, you're comfortable because you put miles on the clock. The more you do something, the more comfortable you become.
Yeah.
And if it's something like singing in front of people, or just developing your talent, like the more you do, the better you get. There's some rule about I think it's is it 4 or 8 hours a day? If you practice 4 or 8 hours a day, like 5 days a week, then
you'll become good at something.
Yeah, you start to smash life.
Yeah.
And punch a hole in the space-time continuum.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what, though? It took me years to actually kind of not think of myself as a presenter, but I've been presenting for a long, long time. But I felt I had to earn my worth in a way, kind of like do those hours, those shows before I could actually be like, yeah, I'm a presenter. It took me a long time. You feel, you do have to earn those credits in a way, don't you?
Yeah.
My first interview is awful. And it's online, and it's one of my really good friends who's a singer, Lucy Rose, and we went to school together, and I rang her up and I was like, babe, soz. Can I come and interview you? And she's like, yeah, just come over to my house, we'll have a cup of tea. Literally, I watch it and I'm like, because I talk over her, like the whole thing. But it was still a fun interview. I still put it out, and it's got loads of views because of who she is, which upsets me so much. But
I really want to look at it.
But it's so nice when, and it must be so nice for you in that respect to look back at that singing over the guitar and go, look at where you are now. Look at the beautiful music you're creating.
Mm. It's a million miles away. Yeah. From what it was. And I do, I'm trying more now to be appreciative of where I am in my career, because I'm self-managed, so
which in itself is an incredible accolade. Like, it's
brave.
Very hard to do.
Yeah, I'm like tired all the time, and I try not to complain about it, because 5 years ago, I could have only dreamed of being this busy.
Look what you're creating for yourself.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm the god in my own universe.
Yeah.
Mountains out of, like, like, creating my own, I'm like manifesting my own future. And I do really appreciate now, like, when I get asked to do workshops, I'm like, I can't teach anybody anything. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh no, I know stuff.
I think teaching can be, I've never done it, but I must, like, the teachers that have, like, touched me in the
forever
Sorry.
I knew that I was saying it, and I was like, I don't know what other word to say.
And the other guy's like, watched your face go, don't say it, I've said it.
It's out there.
I didn't have time to think of another word. Listen. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think being a teacher must be so rewarding. And especially when it's, as you say, if you're walking into an office and doing something you don't want to do, you want to walk straight out.
Yeah.
But if you're there doing something that's like, you know, essentially a day-to-day job that you could do all the time, mm-hmm. and it's giving you that same, you know, buzz that you get from making music, to do all those things together must be a buzz in itself.
I absolutely love it. And it kind of goes over, like going over the basics of things that I'm lazy about. Mm. So things like warming up and warming down, basics of listening to a piece of music, and without, I do this in my workshops a lot, put on a piece of music and the whole room, I'll say, write down what this piece of music makes you think of. Because an instrumental, like if it's in a major key or a minor key, it says it's happy or it says it's sad just by how that instrumental is.
Yeah.
There's only a few tunes that are like sad sounding with like a happy vocal over the top, or happy sounding with a sad vocal over the top. What's the Amy Winehouse tune? Mark Ronson, He Walks Away, The Sun Goes Down. Tears Dry on Their Own.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's like a really happy, like Motown tune.
Yeah.
You listen to just the music, it's so joyful and it's so happy. But over the top, there's this really sad song. It's very rare that people write like that.
Yeah.
So I try and get people to listen to what the music is telling them and then write a song based on that. And it's really weird that in those workshops, everybody kind of comes up with very similar subject matters.
Yeah.
And
I can imagine.
When I get stuck for writing tips, since I've been doing these workshops, I remember to do that. I remember to listen to what the music emotively is saying to me, rather than just try and cram an idea on the sheet of paper.
Talking of that, I want to hear you sing.
Yeah, I'm very ready. By the way, before we do that, if you are wondering what's going on, what show is
what
this?
What is going on here?
What's going on in life in the world right now? Well, I don't have the answers for that, unfortunately, but I do have the answers of the immediate what's going on. We are doing a live 24-hour marathon epic. I'm adding epic to it. Already an hour in and it's going to be epic. Radio show for the He For She campaign, UN Women UK, all in aid of Arts Week. That's why we're here, to support us. For the He For She, just text UNWN followed by the amount that you would like to donate to 770 or 70070. Harriet, how would you say 770?
70070.
Yeah, 770. I quite like that.
No, that doesn't sound...
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work,
Rachel. We, at the moment, have Eva Lazarus with us, and you're going to perform a song for us.
Yes.
Are you ready to perform said song?
Ready as ever.
I like the kind of build-up.
What's the song called?
It's called Truly Blessed.
Oh, lovely. Is this one of the new ones?
It's, do you know what, actually, it's about a year and a half old. And I'm toying with the idea of putting it on my next record. I don't know.
So we're going to work out if we're going to be truly blessed by the song right now.
Oh, yeah, that small bit is working. Right then, Eva. Well, over to you. I shall get your instrumental up and ready.
Oh, she's ready. She's ready. Do you want us to start? Yeah. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. I throw it down, old school like Zeus, I bring the lightning. Sky's the limit, if you're limited, I set my sights in higher places, my heart races, Olympic style until the end of time, and at the finish line, I wanna have a good life. Flash before my eyes, peepers, peep the situation, and the last day's a creeper. Creeping ever closer, you're ready for your close-up. Use up all your credits on experience, the show's love. Show love to all your people, equal. The way forward, cause there is no sequel. When you're gone, you're gone. Make your life a good one, when you're done, you're done. Can't change the past for no one. Everything's all dinner in a synagogue, kosher. Life's not over just cause you're broke, it's not all about notes in your life. There's hopes, have dreams, want schemes. I hope, done deed. We call out to space. Arms wide out, we wait for love. For love. We call out to space. Arms wide out, we wait for love. We wait for love. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're blessed.
keep on going through the hard times, storming all the rain and things. Get better for us if we're focusing, we're positive. We'll never trip up if we hold each other steady. Let the light in like a pupil dilated. Ever ready with the knowledge. Waiting for my turn. Mind wide open for the lessons I must learn. I don't profess to know it all, but this I know for certain. Every day's another chance to lighten up the burden. Lighten up the burden. Lighten up the burden. Every day's another chance to lighten up the burden. Lighten up the burden. Lighten up the burden. Every day's another chance to lighten up the burden. Call out to space. Sounds right now. We wait ye for love. We wait for love. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Singing, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. The sky with this feeling, vibes up, come on, we can see the ground. So far away when we look down, L-O-V-E guides us now, now. Breeze, let it free your mind. Open up your eyes, it's hard to find. This freeness is purely divine. It's all in your wondrous design, Zion, Zion, Fuba.
Amazing.
The answer is yes, it should go on the album.
100%. That should go on the album. That is incredible.
We are truly blessed.
Oh,
can you stay here for the entire show?
How much coffee do you have?
Yeah. The tone in your voice is absolutely stunning.
Oh,
it's absolutely
thank you.
Stunning. Like in both when you spit and when you sing, it's so like tonal. It's just like really deep. Like, love it, love it, love it.
Oh, girl.
And again, when you perform like that, does it still give you that? That buzz, that adrenaline, that everything.
Yeah, I'm definitely addicted to it fully. Like
some addictions are good though.
Yeah, I mean, I always have that feeling before I start. Like, have you seen RuPaul's Drag Race? Don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Do you want to marry? I've got here in the notes. You wants to be married to RuPaul.
Yeah. Well,
you're like, well, actually,
controversial after what he said. Did you hear about what he said about?
No.
Basically, trans people, he was saying, he has retracted it and he has said that, you know, I learn from you guys and, you know, you guys are my teachers. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
He's not the oracle on LGBTQ communications across the world. However, he is in a position where people listen to him. And he was saying that trans women couldn't be a part of the show. But trans women have been a part of the show.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying you could have the hormones and you can have the implants and still do drag, but just not on that show. That's just the...
And the thing
the
is,
requirements.
That area is, and as you know, as he says, everyone's learning, and everyone is learning about it because it's something that is coming to, which is fantastic. People are talking about it a lot more. I've got a lot of friends who are trans, and and you know, same. Going through that period, you know, it must be as difficult for them, actually have to talk about this all the time, but it also is empowering for them to be able to say, no, actually, that's offensive, and he's you know, been called out on it.
Well, the thing is, the whole scene dragged him about it.
Yeah, good.
For want of
which
a better.
Is, yeah.
Very good.
She's good. She's a keeper. So the marriage is off, basically.
It's complicated.
At least for now.
Time is young.
He's got to do some inward searching, I think.
Yeah, that's...
And then we'll relive this.
Yeah.
No proposal. we are going to take a little breather, but we're going to have Governor B in the studio. Would you like to stay around?
Yeah.
Damn straight I would.
Yeah.
And also that when we come back, we're going to play Push It by Salt and Pepper. When we come back, I want to ask you about inspirational women. Who is your inspirational woman? Yeah. So I'll let you think about that. We're going to take said breather and we'll see you very shortly.